Well, today we are nearing the end of a series, and the series started, and I loved what Victoria did, by looking at some of the great Bible stories that I hope many of us were able to hear in vacation church school or vacation Bible school in our days. I thought about today, we're in a sense getting ready to put away the felt board, and I feel like of this congregation, we're of a certain age, and we were, as children, there with that felt board sitting on the floor at Vacation Bible School. And I think for most of us, we would have seen, you know, a slight man on the felt board, and then there would have been a large, what we would call a whale. And so today, just have that image as we get ready to put away the felt board, but we do not put away the stories that are so powerful. We have talked about David and Goliath, that beautiful story of kind of bigness and smallness. We've had Daniel in the lion's den, where we know Daniel was in a foreign nation and he was just ensconced in some difficult situations, but was faithful to his God. Beautiful story. We had Queen Esther, who stood and had to, in a sense, hide her faith, but it was for the greater good to protect and defend God's people. Samson and Delilah, a wonderful story. You know, we've heard a lot about collusion. This was collusion between a couple. And it's quite a story, but we see how God has worked through that. Today we talk about Jonah and the whale, and I was reading a little bit last night, and there was one sermon that I saw, and it was just entitled, "This is not about the whale." So that is our story. And as children, had we been in a Bible school, we would have really focused on that fish, that slash whale. That's what children get intrigued by because it's so unimaginable. Anyway, the story, and we heard half of it from Elizabeth, it's a short one. It is just four brief chapters. In the Bible I was looking at, it was just a little over a page. 48 verses, imagine that. 1,300 words. And most of us can read it in 15 minutes. And so I hope today as you go home, maybe you'll take a look at it because that's of profound importance. Anyway, in it we are reminded of God's grace. And so that's what I think Victoria wanted us to know today. And so we will work toward that, look at that for a moment, and then go from here. Let us pray. Oh God, may the intent and the hope of Victoria's message, through the words of my mouth, along with the meditations of each of our hearts, may it all be pleasing to you and acceptable to you. Oh God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In order to tell the story of Jonah, and again, it's so brief, we need to talk about the whole story a bit, and not just the famous part about the fish. And in the Hebrew, it is the word fish, and that was fun. I was using one of my husband's Bibles from seminary, and it just always is talking about the fish, but we have let it grow and grow to where it's a whale. There's three things about Jonah that I wanted to lift up. He was part of the people of Israel. And he knew Israel's enemy to be Assyria. Now Assyria was from where he was about 500 miles east, kind of north and east, from Israel, where he was. And the Assyrian nation began to come in and they invaded Israel. They were a power and a force. And they came in, and it was in about mid-700s, maybe 760 range. They came in and they had, that's when the story occurs, they had done unimaginable things to the people. And just to give you, since we're the adults at Summer Bible School, to know, I would not have ever said this to children, of course, but when the Assyrians would go into a nation, they mutilated the people. Again, this is adult language. They skinned the people. They forced the disobedient to live in cages or to be in cages like dogs. They did terrible things. Jonah knew this, and so he had a deep hatred for this enemy, as I know all of us, I feel like, would as well. We can never forget that kind of behavior by a force on another. And here God comes to Jonah and tells him that he wants him to go to Nineveh and to preach to these people, this group. And I know they weren't all bad, but the leadership was bad. And he was called to go. Imagine that. And I know when any of us are called to do something, I would imagine that is shocking or against our deepest heart, I've sometimes gone the other direction. I don't know if you have. When you've been asked to do something that is so, I guess, out of your range, we are fearful. And so instead of going to the east, we might go to the west. And I think we do that oftentimes that it is out of fear. It can be out of that we feel unqualified. We don't feel ready to face something, and so we're scared. God comes to Jonah and says, go at once to Nineveh and cry out against it. And Jonah could have jumped at this opportunity because he hated this enemy. And we all know we have enemies, and we can build up a real good case of hate pretty easily. I think I've known that experience. Nineveh was a grand city. It was a huge city. And he's told this quiet prophetic calling to him to go was beyond him. And it's to be about 500 miles from where he was. He was to go there. And he doesn't. As I said, he flees the other direction. And it says he went to Joppa to catch a ship, and it just wonderfully was there. And that would have taken him almost 2,200 miles west over toward what is now, we call Spain. But what is fascinating is that Jonah was not afraid. That's not why he went west, young man. He was mad. He did not want to go because he knew deep down that we have a loving and a gracious God. And he didn't want to go and be part of anything that might turn a new direction. He just didn't want to do it. And so he had no reason. We remember when Moses was asked to go, he had his speech troubles and pointed to his brother, and then Jeremiah, when he was called, felt that, oh my gosh, I'm too small for this, I can't. No, he went because he had a feeling, listen to this, that God was going to be gracious to his enemy. Now, have any of you ever had an experience like that? Maybe someone in your family at a family gathering, and this person has done something you remember 10, 20, 30 years ago, and you don't want to forget it, and so it's in your heart. I was working with a prisoner, and he was just saying, I'm so tired of my aunt bringing up every time we have a family gathering that I spend a night in jail. And so don't we harbor and hold things for years. We don't let go and let God's gracious work through others, not just us. He didn't want to be part of anything that this gracious God might do. In other words, Jonah says, yeah, I didn't want this stupid job in the first place, but I knew if I came here and said these words to those horrendous people, you would spare them. And you would show kindness. Isn't that interesting and true? He goes on so far as to say, I'd rather die now than to live than to see my enemy spared. Whoa. Isn't that kind of convicting about who we are? We'd rather go west, or we'd rather avoid, or we'd rather confront someone we have labeled the enemy. You know, it's kind of a dramatic, well, very dramatic comment. Most of us don't imagine that this God of all would spare even a nation that has done, some of its people has done despicable acts. And if we're honest, Jonah is in a little bit in all of us. Sometimes it's hard to read the full story of Jonah because it makes us start to think about ourselves. How much do I need my enemies to stay my enemies? And we have investment in our enemies sometimes. How do we know who we are if we don't know who we're against? Think about that. We define ourselves at times by what we think and what the other people think. Nadia Bolz-Weber says, hear this profound comment, the gospel is sometimes the worst good news ever when we realize it's for everyone. You know, we just like to let go of that part that God's grace and love is for everyone. We love to kind of fall back on, oh, we're a Christian nation. I will use my Christian yellow pages only to get service people at my home. Because, you know, those outsiders, those unknown and non-Christian people, I don't know if I can interact with them. You know, it might not be safe. And really, we're just, you know, building ourselves up a bit. Think about how frequently we exist in the us against them groups. I like to think about, for decades, this is nothing recent, how so many people believe their party is the ultimate definition rather than God being the final victor. And I think we all know there are wonderful people, good, bright people in all the parties beyond the major two. We know that. I think sometimes we also create an enemy of people in other zip codes from ours. And we keep them in that enemy role or until we meet one of them. One of them might come to our home and we all of a sudden have our eyes opened a bit, our heart just a bit. It's safe for that one person. But we do still get a guard up. We also have boundaries up about people, as I said, of other world faiths, and maybe people that are unfaith. The last month I've been teaching Sunday school, and I just got interested in that comment, spiritual but not religious. I've been teaching it a little bit. I started doing some thinking about it. And the studies say that, you know, more people, just increasingly in small increments, are not part of the church because they see it as a lot of rules. And so it's just so much easier to love their God, kind of like Jonah, out under a tree and just sit there and hold on to their circumstance. And so we have to, this is my sidebar, we need to be a place that doesn't at all come off that way. That we have open hearts, open minds, opened doors. What qualifies for Nineveh today? Nineveh is whatever pulls you out of your comfort zone. Nineveh is the place God calls where you don't want to go. Nineveh is the people who have hurt you deeply. And God says, go and give them my message. Nineveh is danger. Nineveh is discomfort. Nineveh is whatever you hate that God loves deeply. We're going to put the felt board away in a few minutes now. And I just want to lift up our own fears and why we live with enemies, knowing God is so much greater than that. And I think we do it because we are brought up in a world, and maybe from our parents, there's that song from South Pacific, but it's just you have to be taught, kind of beautifully taught to hate. You know, we learn this as we age, and we learn that we're supposed to have enemies. It's just from the play yard on, us against them. You know, when we feel that in our gut, and we want to not believe that God loves even them, and when you feel the rage kind of building up in you as you watch a news story or read an article that inflames your being, we always are called to remember this gracious God, the God of all people. As we look in Scripture, it's so clear that this is God's creation. All the peoples of the world are God's. And sometimes we get so narrow and we think that on that one text, I'm the way and the truth and the life, forgetting all the other texts in Scripture that talk about, these are all my people. God has created all. God loves and cares for all and wants to save us all. You know, those Ninevites, they recanted. Upon hearing Jonah's words, they put on sackcloth and ashes. They got on their knees, and the nation said there were 120,000 children. So that gives us an idea, this is a big city. And they all turned to God. We have to be big enough to allow God to work and to not get in the way of that. God wants us all. I thought about if this were the end of the children's message with the felt board right before we put it up, I thought, what would a child remember? I love little tricks. I said, God says go. Jonah says no. God says lo. And at lo, you are all my creation. I want you all under my wings. Lo, he will be with us always. And he calls us to let love and grace, the love and grace of God, abide. Let us pray. Oh God, you are the giver of all good things. You have given us our very life. And we just pray that as humans who do find little skirmishes in our daily activity, that we can listen to those tugs on our heart and just remember that you are the God of all. Every time we feel that gut reaction to find revenge or fight a fight, let us remember your love for that person in our path, for all you say through Jesus Christ, all our neighbor. In your holy name we pray and we gather in the spirit of love and gratitude. Amen.